You're listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Tolinsky and Wes Boss.
Welcome to Syntax. This is a podcast about web development. Today, we're talking about the Warp terminals. This is a new terminal app that is honestly very refreshing. It's super awesome. I'm a big fan of it. And today we are going, people always ask like how is it good? What's better about it? And then it's just like, well, I hate when big questions like that get asked because it's just like, I could rattle off a few things, but like we literally need a whole hour to explain why we like it and whatnot. So we're recording this thing and getting on into it. I think I've been using it for about a year now. And I've just been absolutely loving it. I've got a handful of gripes. We'll go over those as well, because certainly isn't perfect just yet. How are you doing today, Scott? Are you a big Warp fan as well?
Big Warp fan. Actually, they sent me a t-shirt a little while ago, and I'm a big fan of that t-shirt as well. No, I've been using Warp now for a little bit, and it takes a lot to get me off of my iTerm setup, because it's one of those things that I've finally crafted over the many years that I've been using it. But, Warp was really it, especially now that it's opened up a little bit more, the fact that you can make your own themes, and it definitely feels maybe a little bit more solid than when I first started using it. So no, I'm a huge, huge fan of Warp. Also, I'm going to apologize to anyone out there. I'm getting over what seems to be like the worst cold known to man. I have no idea what's going on. I've had like the worst cough every single day for the past like 7 days. It's so much to the point where it's been keeping me up. So it's like you're coughing all day, you're coughing all night. You can't sleep because you're coughing. And then how are you ever going to get better? So yeah, it has been just like relentless. So I'm going to do my very best to not sound super sick today. It seems like I sound pretty decent right now, but I will make sure I do not cough into Mike. And all right, Chris will cut that out for us anyways. But yeah.
Awesome. I should also say this is not sponsored by Warp. There seems to be a thing lately is whenever you like a company or a product or anything like that, and you say good things about it, people say like, oh, are they paying you? How much do they pay you to say that? Nothing. They did. They sent me a water bottle, but that was only because I was complaining about Warp on Twitter about how the autocomplete is not as good as Fig. And I was like, this needs to get better. And the founder of it, we had a call, and he's kind of was like, oh yeah, like we're that's some low hanging fruit. We're definitely going to fix that type of stuff. And it's cool. He was the principal dev on Google Docs. So I certainly would like to have him on the show as well, just to talk about both, like, how do you make Google Docs? Like, that's unreal.
Yeah.
The Warp terminal is built in Rust, which is very interesting. I remember when it first came out, I was like, oh, this thing is for sure built in HTML and CSS. And I went looking for the CSS file so I could tweak it, and I couldn't find it. Like, I almost can always find the CSS file behind these apps.
Yeah, right. Somewhere in the resources folder.
Yeah, there is no CSS file because it's not built in that. It's built in OpenGL or something like that. So that's kind of the cool thing. So let's talk about terminals in general real quick. Oh, sorry. Hold on.
Before we get it into depth, you said how do you build Google Docs or whatever? That was actually one of my interview questions when I interviewed at Google. Was
really?
Like, if you were going to be making a Google Doc and you were tasked with building Google Docs, like, where would you start? What element would you make the canvas out of? How would you communicate with the server? And I was just like, every single answer I gave, I was like, I feel like this is totally wrong. I feel like this is a bad answer. I wish I could look at Google Docs right now and actually paw through it, because it was just like, I did not trust any of my answers. But that was, interesting interview question there.
Let's talk about the terminal in general. The terminal has been around forever, and it's way back, and it really hasn't evolved all that much over the years. There's so many annoyances that I have with the terminal. At the very basic, you can't click where you want your cursor to go in most terminals. You have to use your arrow keys. And I know that some terminals have you hold down a key and click on it, and that's a little bit better. But like I've always said for the longest time, like, will somebody please VS Codeify the terminal, because that's the experience that I want inside of the terminal. So that skipping via keyboard, I want to be able to use the same keyboard shortcuts that I use in VS Code to skip to the front of the line on something like that. The design in the UI of terminals has improved quite a bit over the years. Like you can get iTerm 2, you can get looking really nice.
Oh yeah,
Hyper looks really nice, and Warp itself looks really nice. So that's been a big one. There minimal features. We've sort of been packing features in via prompts and ZSH and all that. And it's just been kind of clunky. So Warp is kind of here to modernize what the terminal will look like and how you experience this type of thing. Because quite honestly, especially for web developers, when you're learning web development, we sort of just throw you into this whole new world of what the terminal is and how to change files and folders and how to move around. And you can't have spaces in it sometimes. And on Windows, it's a whole nother world of pain and all that type of stuff. So I'm very happy that Warp is here solving at least some of those. It is currently only for Mac. As all good tools, people always say like, oh yeah, you can do web development on anything. And then like, oh, why do people who have Macs love Mac so much? And it's because of stuff like this. This happens literally with every tool, is that the best tools are always for Mac only, at least to begin with, and then they will roll out. So there is a sign up. We'll put it in the link for Windows and Linux. So I assume since this thing is built in Rust, it will eventually hit Windows and Linux as well.
Yeah, I could never be a Windows user. Linux, sure, maybe. But as an Android user for a long time, that was like always the worst thing about app announcements. You'd always have to have like tempered, like, oh, this wonderful new app, and I know I'm probably not going to see it for who knows how long. Even Instagram took like a year to get for Android. I mean, it's just, yeah, one of those things.
All right, some of the terminals now. We'll talk about what we have used and have used in the past. I was on iTerm 2 for probably 6 or 7 years. I did a 2-year stint with Hyper. I was pretty excited about that. But over time, Hyper, it was good. I really liked it and it looked nice, but I was not using any of the plugins and whatnot. A couple here and there, but then they broke and I didn't feel like fixing it. And Hyper itself was, so if you don't know, Hyper was like a React-based terminal that you can download for your desktop. It's from Vercel. They've since stopped development on it for probably a year or two now, but there's one guy I went and looked. There's one guy maintaining it and keeping it going. So it's still a good option, but I probably would not pick it off today.
Yeah. And also, you know, the performance was never great for me. I picked it up and I always had like a little bit of like, I did the classic install all the plugins right away and then be like, oh, this thing's slow. Then I stopped using it. But then iTerm actually ended up getting a lot of the same sort of plugins that you had in Hyper anyways, like being able to see your CPU and those kinds of things in the bottom toolbar and adding little niceties. So I wasn't missing too much by not using Hyper, you know, whatever you gain from cool little fun little things you're losing in performance anyways.
Totally.
You know, for Windows, a lot of people recommended to me the Windows terminal because they recently kind of got a new version of this thing. I don't know how long ago, but at first I wasn't super impressed. But, you know, when I dove into it and you're able to tweak things pretty significantly, it does feel a lot like iTerm. It's not maybe, you know, coming from the Mac world where terminals, even iTerm has been around for a long time, but beyond iTerm, we've had like a lot of nice terminals in Mac. So the Windows terminal being like acceptable to me was like, okay, this is fine. But a lot of people, Windows world, were saying like, this is it. This is the thing. And it's fine. It's good. But I wouldn't necessarily say it holds a flame to Warp here.
Other ones are the Mac terminal that's built in. Honestly, a lot of people use it. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. Alacrity. You put this one in there. What's that?
Yeah. Alacrity is another one. You know, a little while ago, I did a deep dive into the different apps people were using. And Alacrity was one that a lot of people seem to use. And I got to really wonder why. It doesn't necessarily seem like it's doing anything super special. It's OpenGL based. It's fine. Again, it doesn't feel super modern, but when there's other options, it feels like there are other options. This one,
yeah,
people use a lot in Windows. I guess now that the Windows terminal itself is way better, maybe that was the whole point. Maybe this was the option before Windows Terminal got better.
Oh, yeah. I also wonder if people are using that to run Vim, because a lot of people run their editor literally inside their terminal. And that's why some of these terminals don't even have tabs. That's because all of that is part of the Vim editor itself.
Yeah.
And then the last one, probably most popular, maybe most popular, is VS Code's terminal. So VS Code has its own terminal built right in. I have never been able to get into using the VS Code terminal simply because maybe this has changed. I don't want it part of my editor. I want it to pop out. I want to be able to tab over to it. I want to put it on a different monitor, and I want it to be its own thing. So the one thing that keeps making me want to go back to the or go to the VS Code terminal is they have like automatic debug attaching where you can put breakpoints and whatnot in. That's pretty nice. So you don't have to set up the whole VS Code debug thing. But other than that, no.
Yeah, there are times. But like you know, VS Code's like slow enough for me as it is. Like, I don't want to unburden it anymore. And typically, I think the apps that are handling command line stuff, terminal apps, they can be not Electron apps. And I'm happy with that. Yeah.
Let's go through some of terminal terms here, because we can sometimes say these words and you don't know what part of it is. And mm-hmm. also, like, often people say, like, how do you get your terminal to look like yours? Mm-hmm. And first of all, I have an entire course because people ask me that all the time, commandlinepoweruser.com. But also, like, it's a couple things, you know, it's a lot of things put together. So the first one is a shell. The shell is the software that runs in your terminal. It's the actual software that is running on your computer. And that is generally going to be Zish, ZSH, or ZSH for all y'all Americans. And that's the one that's built into macOS now. And that's the one that I would say most web developers use. But there also is Fish. Bash was the most popular one for many, many years, and probably is. If you sign into literally anything, server, you're getting a Bash prompt. Then on Windows, we have Command Prompt, there's PowerShell, and then likely you, the developer listening to this, should be using, it's called WSL, Windows Subsystem Linux. So that literally runs Linux on your Windows computer so that you get a Linux environment or a Unix environment for your shell, and you can run all the stuff that we're talking about on it as well. You don't have to figure out, what's the equivalent to delete a directory in Windows or how do you copy something in Windows? You know, like, what's the equivalent? You don't have to know the equivalent. It's the same everywhere if you're using WSL.
PowerShell, not something I've invested any time in learning myself. Next is the prompt. And the prompt is like a lot of what people see when they ask, like, how do you make it look cool? The prompt is the prompt. It's the thing that says, hey, it's a little piece of text above where you start typing that shows you your context, shows you all sorts of information. Sometimes if you're using a setup like Oh My ZSH or Oh My Fish or Starship, or there's another one called Oh My Posh is the one that I'm using. These different types of prompts, they give you access to being able to style them in various ways. You can give contextual information about where you are currently. If you're in a Git branch, what branch it's on, if the branch is dirty, it needs to be pushed or whatever. You can get all kinds of information inside of the prompt. And basically, you want to use a prompt that coincides with the shell you're using, right? Like, Oh My ZSH is for ZSH as a shell. Oh My Fish is the prompt for fish. Starship only ZSH? Let's see.
I don't know.
Starship.rs. It's the classic built-in Rust it's a cross-shell prompt. Okay, so it is not just ZSH if it's cross-shell. Yeah, it looks like you can use it with Fish, Bash, or ZSH, PowerShell, or Ion, which we haven't talked about Ion, and honestly, I don't know anything about it.
No. Along with these Oh My Fish, Oh My ZSH, that's the one I use, is Oh My ZSH. They also include, aside from the prompt, which is what you see in there, they also give you aliases. So, like, the one that I use most often is dot, 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 which is a CD three levels up. But there's all kinds of really handy ones. Unzip, you know, like I don't have to know the untar XWZRF, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I just run unzip and it figures it out. So these are just collections of functions that
tar XZCF, maybe.
It depends on what it is. And like if it's a 7Z file or if it's a .zip and if it's a Windows zip and all those things is kind of annoying. So OhMyZSH comes with those and it comes with a bunch of like plugins as well. So if you want to do something like upload a file, change your Spotify, literally anything, there's often like really cool plugins that you just add to your config and you get it going.
Yeah. Yeah, those things are super handy. I love plugins. I love aliases. I use them quite frequently. And I honestly love designing my own prompt. That's why Oh My Posh is really nice. It's a nice one. There's a ton of options there. I like that level of customization. And typically what you're doing is you're getting into a config file and you're just quickly adding in an alias, a plugin or whatever. They're usually all pretty easy to add. And these things are all systems kind of onto their own where you have to go to their own documentation and follow the rules for setting them up. A little small sidebar here, shells, Ion. We haven't talked about Ion. I said I didn't know what it was a second ago, and now I know what it is. Ion is a modern shell that is written in Rust. So it's we have the full circle here of Rust tools. Ion is a Rust-based shell.
Oh, cool. That's probably not something I would ever have to get into. So many of these tools.
Just wait, I just want it to work next year.
It's not something I would ever enjoy.
Ion's going to be the default next year. Everyone's going to move on to it.
It was a pretty big deal that Mac OS changed the default shell from Bash which was like, I was like, wow, Apple cares about developers. So that was pretty cool. The last one we have here is the terminal. So we just talked about all the different terminals in there. So the terminal is the window, the GUI that actually peers into your shell. So again, your shell is the software that's running. Your ZSH, OhMyZSH is a bunch of add-ons into that. And the terminal is the window into the shell that's running on your computer or on your server or whatever. And your terminal allows you to type text into it and copy paste things and sometimes drag and drop files into it and complete the path and all that stuff. So that's what Warp is. Warp is a terminal. However, it does also step on some of these things that we talked about earlier, specifically the prompt and whatnot. So it's sort of extending its reach past just being a terminal application and putting a little bit of custom sauce into there, which is really nice. So let's talk about what Warp is. The basic features of Warp. You can click wherever you want. It seems mind-blowing, but sometimes, especially when I'm teaching beginners, You see like, oh, you spelt that thing wrong. And they take their mouse and they try to click where the spelling mistake is and it doesn't work. Or there's like it puts like a block cursor and they're not used to using a block cursor. So little things like that, jumping word, jumping by sentence. I don't know about you, but I use like command arrow to jump by sentence and option arrow to jump by word like crazy. And like that's
in Warp
in literally every application.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't work in an application, I'm just like, why? Like this is part of my workflow.
Yeah. I know it. Why do you have to memorize command A to, or is it control A? It's control A, I believe. That was like the standard iTerm one or the normal terminal one.
Yeah.
And for so long, like all these terminal apps were just like, I want to do it the standard way. And that was a big hang up for me when I got into command line, especially like coming from somebody who's like really into UI based things. I do like command line a lot. I use it like 24/7. But I remember when I was first learning it, like those hangups were kind of a big deal to me. I'm like, why can't I not click around this thing? Why is it intentionally so obtuse? Like, why are there, it seems like the app's trying to make itself not user-friendly in a lot of like basic ways, just because that's just the way it's always been done, right?
Yeah. And like, that's just how terminals work, right? And it's really frustrating, but it's nice that like Warp builds a layer on top that allows you to have a lot of these nicety features. There's a multiple cursors as well. I don't use that one a whole lot, but I imagine if you were can you use Vim in Warp? I don't even know, but like even just your NPM installing something or you're trying to copy a bunch of values from an output, multiple recursors can be really helpful to edit it, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Next up is the autocomplete. This is really nice. So when you hit tab on something, we've always been limited in the terminal to things like ghost text or giving you a bunch of lines, because there is no UI in the terminal. It's just text, and you can color text and you can do tabs and whatnot. But now Warp gives you pretty good autocomplete. So if you type git space, it will give you a list of all your git commands. If you do git checkout, it will give you a list of all of your commits or all of the branches and whatnot that you can go to. And it also will give you a little bit of documentation inline. And this is the same type of feeling that I had when I moved to VS Code, is like, okay, yeah, a text editor is for editing text, but I want a little bit of GUI on top of that to give me a little bit more context, a little bit more help and whatnot. And being able to add that nicety on top of it is really good. The autocomplete in Warp is a little bit weak, I would say, because you get the pop-up, but it's not, first of all, it breaks a lot of autocomplete from other tools. So like specifically I use Z, I use Tree, I use a PNPM. All of those things just work in literally every other terminal, and you just hit tab and it will give you a list of autocompletes and whatnot. Because Warp is stepping in and stepping over top of this functionality, they only support things that they support. And this is probably my biggest gripe with it right now, is that I use PNPM. And if you use NPM, the auto-completion is pretty good. But if you use PNPM, it literally doesn't know anything about it. When the reality is these tools have their own autocomplete already. So there needs to be something where either we open source the plugins on Warp, the community can take care of them, or just use the autocomplete that the tool gives you in the other ones, because it's not nearly as good as some of them.
Man, I've been using PNPM for so long now that I didn't even know there was a nice NPM version in Warp here. I just thought that this was all like this. It is funny because, you can get around in Warp and have it feel very similar to iTerm or any of these other ones where you're not utilizing any of these things, and it will just feel like a command line. So if like command line with a GUI scares you, like for the most part, it can just feel like a normal terminal without having to stress too hard about that. But also I think some developers do take the lack of a GUI in is like a bit of like a gatekeeping badge of honor. Like use this thing that's just text. Watch me do this. And when it's, sometimes a little bit of GUI is nice. Sometimes we all need a little bit of helpers and a little bit of extra features here and there. I found the autocomplete overall to be better than what I was using. And maybe I'm have no complaints there. Fig to me had some issues. So like I didn't get too deep into it. So I don't know what a better autocomplete looks like, to be honest.
The Fig autocomplete is way better. So it's more information dense. That's the Warp like autocomplete is like really big. And like a lot of times people, I find this all the time. Like I got a new Apple Watch and it's not as information dense as my Garmin was. And a lot of people are like, oh, the Garmin's ugly. I'm like, I don't care if it's ugly. I want the info, Like, of course there's good design and stuff like that. But like I want more information density, and like the icons in Fig are way nicer. It does things like Fig will do NPM uninstall, and then it will give you a list of all of your packages, which is so nice. I don't want to have to like go into my package JSON, copy it, paste it into the thing. So it just knows a little bit more about that. And the Fig also hooks up to the NPM REST API. So if you type in a package, it will try to like give you a list of the packages that you want. So much prefer the Fig one. However, Fig is a autocomplete for all terminals except for Warp. They don't play well together. Again, because Warp's doing some special sauce in here.
Yeah.
So like I'm at a point now where the niceties of Warp outweighs the autocomplete of Fig, but ideally I would have both.
Yeah. You know what? You want to know how we're different. We spend so much time talking about how similar we are. I'm the guy who broke Fig by trying to make it larger. And you're like, warp isn't large enough. And it's too large. And for me, Fig was like too small and too information dense for me. So I was like, I'm going to bump up some of this stuff. And then it like broke the UI. So
yeah. Oh, that's actually really funny that happens. I often find myself literally with everything. The new tweet deck is like that. I'm like, just give me more. I don't want to have to scroll 1,000 times to see all my directories. I want to see 8 directories at once instead of 3. Mm-hmm. Next one is sticky header. This is honestly the best. If you run a command and you get tons of output, lots of console logs, something is streaming in, Warp will stick the prompt and the command that you run at the top and stream all the data underneath it into what's called a block. And honestly, that's the best because you can see what was run for that specific thing. And you don't have to scroll all the way to the top of that specific command.
Yeah. Now, you know, one thing that I will say with these features, you can also do, you know, standard terminal features like you say, tabs, but also split panes where you can split a pane horizontally and vertically. Now, what I don't like about Warp is that, you know, in iTerm, you can click and drag and move them around and move them to new spaces and stuff like that. With Warp, if you segment your window, your current tab, you can't move those around at all. You're kind of just like, all right, this is the way they are.
Yeah.
You can't manipulate them after the fact, which I found to be a bummer, but I'm sure it's something that they'll improve upon at some point here.
Totally. Next one is this idea of blocks. So a block in your terminal or in Warp is the output of a command. So you run npm start, you get a whole bunch of stuff streaming in, maybe a big error. All of the output from that is encapsulated into a specific block. And a block will show you what your prompt was, what you ran, and all of the output from that specific block. And that's nice because if you're trying to search for a specific output, if you want to share the output of a specific command, if you want to literally do any, if you want to scroll to the top of a block, like how many times have you done that? We're like, okay, I need to find where the start of this thing was run. In Warp, you just press the up arrow and it jumps you right to the top of that block. And everything else, you need to scroll through 10,000 lines of text and find where that command had started, which is really frustrating. So I like this feature a lot, especially because you can toggle blocks, you can search within them, you can share them with a friend. I'm a big fan of this specific approach to running commands.
Yeah, likewise. I think that was a nice addition overall.
There's a live search in the block as well. So something I was running the other day, I needed to I was console logging like a massive request. And you know, like a request has, it's an object with like 1,000 properties in it. And I just needed to search inside of that. And first of all, that's really handy because you can search for like params and it'll go right to it. You don't have to search through the entire request. But you can also do live searches, meaning that like I just hit command F and did a search for params. And then as the data was streaming into my console, because it was running every single time I refreshed my route, it was dumping it in and it would highlight it automatically in my terminal. And I could see it and I was like, oh, this is so nice. I don't have to like close the search and rerun it every single time. It's just every time it updates the searches as well.
I'm finding that I'm learning about features within Warp just constantly. Stuff that I'm not using that I got pretty deep into iTerm, but Warp at a glance, it's very simple. And then once you get into some of this cool stuff like live search, I did not know that this existed.
It's so handy. You can pin blocks as well or bookmark them if you want to be able to come back to them. And that's really handy. Like let's say you cat a file. Catting a file will output the contents into it. And you're like, okay, I need to see that. What I might do in the past is I would copy paste it into a tab in my text editor, but you could just pin it or bookmark it and come back to that at a later point.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing this podcast, honestly, is that like there's so many little features inside of these things that people don't necessarily know about.
Yeah, myself included.
The prompt, you can hit command R and that will, or sorry, control R. And what that will do is it'll open up this little tab. It'll say, command search. Are you looking for something in your history, and that will give you a list of commands that you have previously run. And it's massive. You can look back 6-7 days worth of commands that you had previously run. Or you can do workflows. We'll talk about that in a second. Or you can run an AI command search. We'll talk about that as well. So the prompt in there is super handy. And one thing it will do is if you accidentally run a command that is incorrect, it will do a very good job at saying, did you mean X, Y, and Z? And then you just hit your right arrow to autocomplete it. And I've become, as a chronic typoer, and NOM install, it's so handy to have that. And you just hit the arrow and rerun it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of did you mean? Because, yeah, we both misspell things, and that's a big savior break. And there's nothing worse than hitting enter and being like, oh, shoot, okay, let me go. And then you have to hit the arrow keys to get exactly where that typo is. And yeah. I love the modern terminal for fixing some of these things for us. Yeah, the next thing is this sharing blocks. You know, I haven't done any of these sessions features or anything like that. Have you used any of these live session features?
I haven't used the live session. So this is a paid feature. I'm not a paid user.
Likewise.
But you can, so what you can do is you can share a block, meaning that that's a free one. So if you have an error in your console and I say, I'm the tutorial provider, and I say, all right, well, what's your console saying? Like the thing that kills me, everybody sends me a screenshot, and it's so hard to go through the tiny little screenshot that's been blurred sideways through Instagram. Give me text. I want text. It's way easier if I can copy paste an actual error and do a quick search on your specific error. So in Warp, you can right-click a block and say, share a block. And that will then, you make sure there's nothing sensitive in there, but that will upload the output of that block to the Warp website, and it almost like a GitHub gist. And you can just send that over to somebody and see it. So that's handy with a package JSON if you need to show people what you have, or output of a command, or anything like that.
Wow. Yeah, that seems super useful.
There's live sessions as well, which is, this is not something I've used either, but I can see being super handy for debugging an issue on someone's computer. So say Scott says, hey, Wes, I can't get your Vite plugin working on my terminal. And then we could share a session and I could go in and these are paid features, because I think that this is kind of where they're trying to make their money and running it on multiple computers. So sharing a session is, I guess, like pair programming, right?
Yeah, that's, if a lot of these things, they do feel like if you were part of a group or a team, they would just be even better. This feature that is next is the AI command search. This is super cool. And it's kind of similar to something that you were saying that you wanted even a few episodes ago. I do notice that in their tweet where they were showing off how to use it, you've linked to that in the show notes, the shout out West Boss directly. So it's very fun that you were involved in potentially asking for this type of thing. But what this is a basic way that you can use natural language to write commands. And you kind of at least have to know a little bit about what you're doing here, because when you get into terminal, you could hit enter and potentially nuke out some stuff in your file system. So just running commands without knowing what they are is probably not a great strategy. But using the AI command search or command, you can use natural language to do the things that you might not think to be able to do or be able to do, or maybe you just don't want to spend time to look it up. I want to SSH into this thing or whatever. It can help you with the specifics of certain prompts and certain command line utilities and ways that you work around the command line that you might not have thought of at any given second or want to dive into the...
Yeah.
What's the manual? Is it man? That's how you get to manual
the man
for anything?
Pages, I use it mostly for, I've got 10 files and I need to rename them and put a number at the end of
each.
I don't know the bash command for that. The amount of times that I just write a little node script instead of writing a bash command, because I don't know the crazy bash syntax. So this is great because you just type in that, or I do it all the time. I type in git undo, and then it gives me, instead of having to search, what's the git reset head tilde 1-hard, whatever, then you could just type git undo last two commits, or git merge last two commits, or loop over these three files and rename them and join them into one text file. And I found it. I even did one. I said, download the script of B-movie, and it did it for me.
Yeah, that's amazing. I just typed in, just to see, you know, just for fun here, I typed in find all markdown files. Find, and it has, it gives me the command right here. Input command, let's go. Find all markdown files. That's like the type of language you can give this thing. But the B-movie thing is very funny. I love that it actually gave that to you. That's super good.
I just wrote, find all markdown files that start with S and end in 400. And then it gives you the entire command for that with all the flags and whatnot. And again, you have to kind of know what you're doing here. Don't just go paste in random stuff in there. But the AI command search is super helpful. And it's the same kind of stuff you get with Chat GPT. But instead of having to go to Chat GPT and sign in, because Chat GPT always signs you out for some reason, you can just do it directly from there. And also GitHub is going to be rolling this type of thing out as well. So we'll see where that lands.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't delete system 32 or whatever if it tells you to do that.
Yeah. Remote SSH. This is another super handy thing, is that sometimes you get your whole terminal set up, your whole prompt, everything all nice and cozy set up in your local development, but then as soon as you SSH into a box, you literally lose all of that stuff. You lose your shortcuts and everything. Mm-hmm. So what Warp does is when you SSH into a box, you get to still use all of your customizations and features into it. And how they do that is you can use a custom prompt with Warp, and I do. There's a setting called custom PS1, and that's how I get my existing ZSH prompt. But if you don't, out of the box, it gives you a really nice prompt that has Git integrated. And that's great for people who are learning, because you don't have to go through the whole rigmarole of setting things up. It just is a really nice UI right from the get-go. Instead of like the default one in Bash is just a tilde. You know,
yeah, it's just like good luck. That's what it is. It's yeah, the good luck.
You have
theme.
To type PWD and NPM install, and you don't know where you are. It's just a bad experience from the start. So Warp will give you that stuff from the get-go, which is really nice. And SSHing into a remote box and having all of these niceties, being able to click where you want the cursor to go on a remote box is amazing.
Yeah. I see that it doesn't play super nice with my Oh My Posh. Like, it comes in correctly, it gives me the right data, but like the formatting is kind of off. So I might need to spend some time like running some updates to see if that can get fixed here, or if I need to.
I lost my arrow on my prompt.
Yeah, I lost the cute things is what I lost.
Yeah. But I was like, whatever. I'm not looking into how to figure this type of thing out. Everything else still works great. So. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Window management. You kind of talked about this. You can split windows up and down. You can have launch configs, which is you can say like, okay, now I'm working on Boss Monster. I have a front end tab. I have a back end tab. I have my MongoDB in another tab, and I have them split in a certain way. You can just save that as a config. And then when you go to that project, you can reinstate all of that in a matter of seconds. And that's really nice to just get up and running and comfortable to your terminal.
Yeah, I do wish this was better. This is like the one thing that I think Warp is losing out on compared to iTerm.
Yeah.
But it has actually, I have noticed that in the time that I've been using Warp the past few months here, there have been updates to some of these things that have improved it, but it's still not a super, super duper customizable.
Workflows. This is a list. I don't use this feature myself, but a lot of teams who have commands that are long, you need to migrate a database, you need to do a dump, you need to rename a whole bunch of files. You need to do a dump. I just used to save these commands in like a markdown folder or in 1Password or in somewhere related to the project. And it's nice to put them in specific in a workflow, because there's a nice UI. You can click on the one you want. It'll autofill it in there. And this is really, I think, where teams are going to see benefits for this type of thing, where, all right, you got 14 developers and they all need to run the same command. Oh, what's the command to deploy this thing to production? And for me, I mostly stick those things in NPM scripts. But
yeah, scripts or write a custom script.
Yeah. But it's nice to have them in workflows, I think. I know Fig launched something like this as well recently, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that this is probably something that I would not put in my terminal ever. Just, you know, even with Teams, to me, it makes more sense to keep that in the, you know, the program itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it being useful, especially for things outside of the program or maybe the
Docker commands or networking steps, things like that.
Yeah, I could see where this would be interesting.
I have a couple of those in my thing where I run it a couple times a year and I have to like push the up arrow for 3 days looking for that one command that I wrote.
Yeah, just keep holding up until you get there. Next up, let's talk about the command palette. Honestly, the more apps that come out with a command palette, my life just keeps on getting better and better. I gotta say that like the command palette in Arc browser has like quickly become my favorite browser feature ever. The command palette in VS Code, something you cannot get around without being like really good at or being proficient at or utilizing correctly. And this is no different where the command palette is really here to save your bacon. I do kind of wish maybe I could set this up to be my own different keyboard shortcut. I guess the command P is probably fine for the command palette, but it is command P or control P. And I guess there's no window. So command P, you can just start typing or whatever. Split pane, do basically any of the activities that you'd want to do. If you're the type of person who's keyboard focused rather than, you know, clicking on GUIs or remembering keyboard shortcuts, just about everything's in here. And it's a nice command palette. It's no Raycast by any means, but it's nice enough where it will quickly get you what you need and also show you the keyboard shortcut just in case you want to memorize that keyboard shortcut for later.
Yeah, I love that. And also the command shift P will give you a list of all of your tabs. And I love this because often your tab is way too small to show you what's going on. And all you see is like a glimpse of the folder. So the command shift P will show you a list of all of your tabs, but it will show you the working directory, last time that session had run, the Git status.
If it's running.
If it's currently running, what the current session is. It's a great way if you have multiple tabs open. I try to keep my tabs open to 4 or 5, and past that, you should probably clean a few up, but I find it really handy.
It's handy because I like to run things like my Redis and my MongoDB instance and stuff like that. I like to run those in, you know, some people just run them in the background, but I like to run them in tabs on my terminal just to be able to have them open. So it is nice to be able to do command shift P and C. All right, Mongo running .. Redis running .. You know, I could see that those are active services and I'm not having to worry about them.
Yeah, big fan of that. Let's talk about how do they make money? This is one thing you should be aware of anytime.
Yeah.
There was like a funny tweet going around a couple of months ago is the CEO of my terminal messaged me because it's funny that lots of things that you would think are just a simple terminal is now possibly something that you could pay monthly for. So I think they're going hard on the warp for Teams, which is probably how they're going to make their money. You got 30 developers or I've talked to people that have 5,000 developers. And you need to be able to share configs across them. I think the money is in when there are major scale issues with this type of thing. Mm-hmm. I have no problem just having a markdown file or whatever for some of these things. But once you get into major scale, I could see that certainly. And also things like auditing. Like, could you use this to stop your developers from running stuff that they shouldn't be able to do? You know, or should you be able to see what commands a developer is running in a specific terminal? So there's probably some stuff around that could be useful as well. I don't think they do any of that type of stuff, but I imagine that would be helpful. You do have to sign in. This is people I got mad about this initially, is that you cannot use Warp without an account. Seems a bit silly. And then they think, okay, well, like, what are they tracking? Are they logging everything like that? And they also had telemetry, which is they send stats about how you're using Warp back to the mothership. They now have given you the ability to turn off the telemetry, but you do still have to sign in. I trust them. I certainly trust them a lot. I really like the product, but that is something that everybody talks about. And if I didn't mention it, we would get 1,000 tweets from people about that.
Yeah, you know, it's a weird thing for me. You know, I live in the 2023 world where I just assume that an account's required for everything. And if I want that ease of use and I want that luxury of using this thing, I'm going to have to give them an email, whether it's my email or the email that Apple generates or whatever. I'm going to have to create an account. And I personally don't see the big deal in that. You know, some people, when I posted Arc, the browser, you would not believe, just every other comment is, you have to create an account, no thanks. Like, I don't want an account. I'm like, I don't know. I have an account for Firefox. I have one for Apple. I have one for Chrome. Like, that to me is not something that bugs me that much. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's maybe even different from a web browser to a terminal. But like, man, maybe I'm just not doing anything that I feel like I don't, you know, I don't care if Warp sees that I'm running NPM run dev or whatever, even though I doubt they are. Yeah. It's still the same regard. I just do not care that I have to make an account for this. It's
I would care if they see what I'm running. But I, especially your terminal has secrets in it. But at a certain point, even NPM packages, literally all software you run, you have to trust the people who are making that software, right? And the fact that they have an account or not, I don't think changes that type of thing.
Totally, yeah.
Let's talk about our annoyances and wish list items that are in there. Probably top of the thing for me is better autocomplete. I think there is a major opportunity to be had here to make amazing autocomplete, amazing GUI, stuff like that for web developers, and I think that they could go a long way if they opened up the spec or allowed us to contribute or just something, plug-in ecosystem, something in there to have better autocomplete inside of it.
Yeah, totally. I want profiles. You know, one cool thing about iTerm is profiles. You can set up different appearances, different automatic like commands and stuff that can be run on the start of a profile. Like, for instance, I have a profile to SSH into my Synology. So the profile is just Synology. I open that thing up. It sets the background color. It automatically SSHs me in. I just hit enter or whatever. Yeah. It lets me in. So, I like those things. I don't know if I have to have them, but it's something that I miss for my term, definitely.
Yeah, well, especially if you are terminaling somewhere that you think you are, and it's very sensitive, it's probably a good idea to make the background yellow. Be like, you are in the production database right now. Careful. Because certainly I've run commands where I thought I was where I was and I wasn't, you know? So you got to be careful.
Hey, sidebar, if you're coloring things, how do you color them? What's the color that you use for production and what's the color that you use for dev?
I don't do production dev only because I don't SSH into many things other than my Synology.
I'm not talking about terminal specifically. I'm just saying in general. You have to like put up a warning for yourself that you're in production or dev, or like, for instance, our database software that we use to log in, you can give the shortcuts colors to identify them.
I do green for my admin, and I do red for production, which is maybe not great. And then I do
red for production too.
My VS Code, I do the other way. I do green for production and red for local. And then I do pink for backend and yellow for front end. If I'm splitting those things up in a project, I'll use the VS Code settings in the VS Code what's it called? The .VS Code workspace folder. Color it. That's really handy, especially when I'm doing tutorials. People need to know, okay, what are you working on right now? You know, if you have if you have a front end back end open separately, it's nice to be able to show them that.
I use purple for development just because it's our brand color.
Yeah,
I use green for staging, and I use red for prod just because it's like warning, dangerous, red. Yeah,
Other things, background processes are currently broken. And literally like probably 6 minutes ago, I got a GitHub notification that they are working on this. So one annoyance I have with Warp is if you have a process and those processes will spew stuff into what's called standard out or standard error. And that's the text that comes on it. And sometimes those processes, you kill them and Warp thinks the process is done and it still dumps something in. I specifically have this with Caddy server. So if I run Caddy stop, it will immediately put me back on my terminal. And then a couple seconds later, when Caddy actually is done shutting down, it'll dump a bunch of stuff. And then that goes into the input of my next terminal. So it's all blah, blah, blah. And also if you use like background processes in on the terminal. So sometimes I will be running a node process and I want to NPM install something. You can background that process by hitting, I forget, I have a TikTok tip on this. You can background it, NPM install, and then foreground it. And you don't have to stop the process in between, but you can go back to your prompt. A lot of people just open up a new tab, which is a good option as well. But Warp doesn't like that because if your background process is emitting text, that goes into your prompt and it's impossible to use. So they said they're working on it. They said it's a tricky problem to solve. So we'll see.
Yeah. You have make console log work just like the browser.
Yes.
So that's not something that any terminal does, right? Or at least no terminal that I know does, right?
No, I want this. So if you want to console log something from a Node app or a JavaScript app.
Yeah, object.
You have two options. You got your object, or you got to like set the depth of it, or it's just a massive string and it's annoying, right? And if you want to work with it, you have to copy paste it. So the other option is you use the --/ inspect flag and then you open up Chrome DevTools and you open that up or you use the VS Code. You can set breakpoints and whatnot. But like, honestly, I just want to console log something. I don't want to have to set all that up. I don't want two apps open to see my console logs. Wouldn't it be cool if you console logged values in Warp and you could like open, you could see it as an object and you could open it with like an arrow, or you could like right click copy object or something like just that. Like, wouldn't it
endless,
be cool?
Yeah.
Or like, wouldn't it be cool if you like could hover over an image file and it gave you a preview, you know, like I hate having to jump into Finder for simple things like that, you know, like wouldn't it be like, is that the next step of this type of thing? I don't know any of that. I don't think so, but I think that would be so cool if you could take the console a little bit further into what the browser console gives you.
Yeah. And I largely agree that we need to, like, you know, I think I've mentioned this enough in this episode, but I think we need to get out of the headspace of, you know, a terminal should be bare bones as possible and like give you absolutely no help whatsoever. So
I agree. And I think people are probably screaming, being like, that's what your IDE is for. And maybe it is, but I just love my terminal so much and I want my console logs showing up as objects.
I want my terminal and I want to do what I want it to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
A web version of this would be really cool. I don't know how that would, they could probably make it work. I don't know. It's built in Rust. Maybe we'll have Zach on to talk about that. But I think it's inevitable that we are going to start doing these types of things in the browser. So that would be cool to sort of think ahead. Like, imagine you could have all the stuff we just talked about, but anywhere you want, you wouldn't have to set it up for every single computer. That would be sick.
Yeah, I'll take it. AI-based auto completion, which honestly I think is something that we're all going to start to see a little bit more of. AI-based anything. I saw on Twitter the other day, it was like, here's an AI tool for that automatically writes your commit messages based on what files you've changed and how. And I was like thinking, yeah, this is kind of where these little AI things are going to come into play here. But any sort of AI-based auto-completion, it kind of knows a little bit more beyond just like, oh, last time you were in this spot, you ran this command.
Yes.
Or these following commands is kind of how it currently does it, right? So like, I want you to be able to better predict exactly what I want to do.
The most basic example for me is I CD between the root of my project and one of my monorepo roots. Mm. And when I'm in the monorepo root, it shouldn't suggest me to CD into the monorepo root that is doesn't exist.
Or run package commands from the root of the monorepo. Right, yeah.
Or it should know, like, you use PNPM for this project and you're running an NPM script. And I know you can overwrite NPM for that type of stuff, but, like, wouldn't it be nice if it just stepped in and said, hey, what are you trying to do, CD? Or, like, you often run this command in this folder. You've run NPM run dev 10,000 times, but in this other project, you always run NPM run develop, you know, like those types of things where it's just, come on, make it a little bit easier. And I bet that's what we'll start to see, whether it's Warp or GitHub or whoever is coming out next with this type of thing. I bet that's going to be the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it easy for me.
Better themes. I've made Cobalt 2 for Warp. But it's pretty limited. There's like four colors you can set on this type of thing. So if you put a gradient, if you color your tabs, it like puts this like awful gradient on the tab. Mm. And like,
I like the gradient.
Really? Oh, at least with my blue, it doesn't look good. And it's not the same. Is it the same yellow? Maybe it is the same yellow.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, because you have your own theme. No, I'm using the Cyberwave theme, which is one of the default ones that comes built in. And as like a default themes go, this thing has really great default themes. There's a lot of really cool default themes in here. I do want to make my own. I'm the type of person who like will say, I'm not going to make my own. I'm not going to make my own. And next thing you know, I'm writing CSS for a Home Assistant dashboard last week. So
yeah.
You know, it's only a matter of time before I start writing my own for this. But right now, the one I'm using is pretty good.
Yeah, really cool themes. And I put a border on my hyper that was like a pink border. And I freaking loved having that border on it because it was very clear that this was my terminal. And people who took my courses could see that it was not part of the editor. And I just want a border on the terminal, you know, like that's why I went hunting for the CSS file. So a little bit better theming support would be really nice. I don't know how you do that though, because it's not divs and stuff like that. How do you even make a UI in OpenGL or whatever it's built in? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't know either.
last one we have here is command clicking links. It's very good if you have stack traces and you command click a link, you can set Warp to open in VS Code and then it will open up that error in your VS Code. That's really nice. But you have to command click a link, and it used to just be you click it, and they changed it for some reason, but I want to just be able to click it. I don't want to command click it.
Yeah. I just want to click it. Yeah. Let me click the link. If it hasn't, they don't always have an underline, but yeah. Yeah, you know what? One thing I do like is that when you click, I found it almost always opens up in my correct editor, the correct file, and the correct project that I'm working on. It does a good job of that, which honestly, there's nothing worse than you click a file and it's like, let me open up a new project in VS Code. And you're like, no, don't do that.
It must do something, because sometimes you get like a linting error and it doesn't give you the full path of the linting error, but it always knows which file to open up, like almost always. Yeah. And I don't know if that was the same thing in other terminals, but I'm always pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I'm always pleasantly surprised as well. Cool. Well, that should be it on Warp here. Give it a try. Let us know what you think. I'm sorry, Windows folks. You know, hopefully this is something that doesn't stay Mac forever, as you know, just like many of these tools. So that's it for Warp. Now let's get into sick picks and shameless plugs. Wes, do you have anything that you would like to sick pick?
Yes. Oh man, I have so many things. I keep forgetting to put them on.
I know, me too.
I do have one. Every time I'm upstairs, I'm like, oh, I should sick pick that. This thing is awesome. I got one, and this is a iPad sorter. It's made. So all of our kids have an iPad, and all of our kids have a set of Bluetooth headphones now. So like the whole charging infrastructure is it's a bit of a job now. And it's
charging, you have to call it infrastructure.
Yeah, it's a job. It's a lot. And it's really frustrating because, like, I don't know, freaking lightning cables don't work half the time and our kids break them all the time and whatnot. And it was always a mess. We were just stacking them on top of each other. So I got this little iPad sorter, which is basically like a dish rack. It's made out of bamboo. And then underneath it has like a little, you can take the top off, which is the rack. And then underneath you can put like a charger. I know that there's ones that are, they have like USB ports in them, but I've seen too many TikTok videos where those things catch on fire that I'm never touching.
Oh yeah.
Cheap charging infrastructure ever again. So I put like a nice Anker 8-port USB charger underneath. And then you get tiny little lightning and USB-C cables, and then they all just come out the sides and you can plug them in. And so much that our oldest daughter can now go collect all the iPads, put them in and plug them all in. So they're all charging cool at once. And it's just made life so much easier. So I'll put the link in the show notes for it. You can find them on Amazon or whatever. It's just a bamboo tablet sorting machine. It also came with like a little hook for the Apple Watch and a couple smaller ones for things like AirPods and whatnot, but we're not using it for that.
Yeah, we have one iPad for the kids to share right now. And the thing causes a lot of trouble, whether it's fighting over it or, the amount of time they can spend on it. But there are some really neat things. We have a couple of coding apps and, you know, educational STEM apps for the kids. Maybe we can do a roundup at some point of things that might be useful there for
kids.
We
should. As I've talked about this a lot on Twitter and to my friends and whatnot, is there's so much garbage out there and there's so much awful stuff. And all these, there's so many apps that are like, they like bait the kids to buy them or they throw ads up in front of them. And they're you can tell they are targeting exhausted parents who just want their kid to be quiet, which is not me. Don't tell me I'm an iPad parent.
But
people also ask, like, how much time do you give them? Do you have screen time? Like, do you let them? We remove YouTube Kids entirely.
Yeah, YouTube Kids can go right in the trash as far as I'm concerned. It's the worst app.
Honestly,
my son is so addicted to like watching other people play Legos on it. I'm like, I'm gonna set your screen time on it to 10 minutes. I don't want you watching any more than that. It's too much already.
It's awful. Like at first I thought, oh, this is awesome. Like it's YouTube Kids. It's like a walled garden of just amazing stuff that kids, and my kids love it. They love watching a kid make slime or something like that. And then a couple months in, or just like, our kids are like, can we go buy slime? Can we go buy a toy? I want a LOL doll. And I'm like, this is how these toy companies are ruling the world, is they have all these YouTube Kids that open toys 24/7. It's not useful or anything like that. So we told our kids that YouTube shut down until you're 18.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is just like healthy skepticism or whatever, but like I'm instantly kind of skeptical of an adult who is like their whole thing is making a channel of themselves playing with toys. Like there's so many of those out there where it's just like, I'm going to play with toys and new devices and stuff.
That's
like
wild world.
I get it, but there's so many of them out there and they have so many views and the kids go nuts for watching other people play. But like, if it's kids playing with it, fine. That's a very different situation than like a couple of adults doing it. I don't know. That's weird to me. That's very,
very, very bizarre world.
Yeah. And all right. My sick pick is going to be something also kid-based here. It's a pack of 50 Pokemon cards for $5. Let me tell you, man, our kids are incentive-based. They like incentives and stickers, sure, whatever. Those are fine. But let me tell you what gets them going. Pokemon cards. They love Pokemon cards. My son is at the age where he is just like, he's five, and he's like, what? There's 900 different Pokemon, and he doesn't know what they are. So it's not like he's like, he's not like, give me this one, give me that one, whatever. So what I've done is I've bought a pack, and now I've ended up buying three packs of these because it's $5. You get 50 cards, and like, we'll say, if you can go to bed tonight without fighting with your sister, when you wake up tomorrow, we got a brand new shiny Pokemon card waiting for you. And what we'll do is we'll have six. I'll do like a draw of six of them. I'll randomly draw six of them. I'll say, you can pick one of these six. Which one do you want? He'll take it. And then he gets really excited for what other possible ones are there. My daughter's into it. And as far as like incentive-based anything goes, man, you can't beat 50 for $5. Especially like you don't have stickers all around the house. They'll really like treasure them. They're putting them in their things. They're talking about them. They're getting excited about it. And I thought this was fun.
Oh, that's great. I should maybe try that. I've also heard that kids love just gems, like little plastic gems as like little reward structures and whatnot. We've been doing like stickers where you can like save 30 stickers. And we should do how to raise the world's best kids.
Oh, yeah. We should have Courtney on for that.
I know. Or 20 ways we've screwed our kids up.
Yeah. My wife taught a course on human development. So if I need anything, she taught a master's level course on human development. And I just could say, hey, what do I do? What do I do here? What's the situation? Or like, I'll do something in parenting and she'll be like, yeah, I don't think you took that one the right way, Dad. I think you could have done that one a little bit different. It's like, oh, shoot.
That's good. That's good. I popped one of my kids' balls the other day because they were not getting along and they were not listening to me. They threw a ball straight at my face and I carry a pocket knife and I just popped it right in front of them. Maybe not the best. Yeah, I know. Maybe not the best approach, but I very clearly remember my dad doing that to me when I put the basketball in the flower bed or something like that. And I remember to this day, I didn't do it again.
My kids threw a stuffed animal at me and I ripped his head off.
I didn't
do that, by the way. Don't come for me.
Shameless plugs, westboss.com/courses for a list of all the courses that I offer. If you want to take one or grab a free one, get on into it. If you do buy a paid one, use coupon code Syntax. That'll get you $10 off.
I'm going to shamelessly plug levelup.video. We have a new course on Svelte and TypeScript and lots of Svelte and SvelteKit content.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you later.
Peace. Hey. Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.